first one, we talked about the door and how important it is to go through the right door, right? What door of salvation are you walking through? We also talked briefly about the kind of leaders we follow. Are they leaders that have gone through the door through Christ? And then we looked at the second part, and that's the Good Shepherd. And we learned something very important about the Good Shepherd, and that is the single most important identifying mark of the Good Shepherd is, do you remember? The Good Shepherd does something very important. Lays down his life for the sheep. That was the single most emphasized factor, identifying mark of the Good Shepherd that differentiated the Good Shepherd from the other thieves and robbers. Jesus said anybody else is a thief and a robber because when trouble comes, they run. The Good Shepherd, when trouble comes, faces the trouble himself. And today we're looking at number 3, and we're coming to chapter 10 again. And this third part is looking at the one piece of the story we've not looked at, and that's the sheep. And this parable, this teaching of Jesus on the sheep and the shepherd and the fold, especially the sheep part, has really gotten me thinking over the last month or so that we've been talking about this, about my own Christian life, my own response to the shepherd, my own relationship with the shepherd. And as we talk this morning from John 10, I think your own heart will also be resonating with this shepherd and sheep picture, especially in John 10. Let's pray. Father, we are coming before you with your word. And I am so unworthy to open your word and preach and speak to the people, but we are here because we want to be taught. Teach us the lessons about the sheep that we need to learn this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I realize it's afternoon, and we won't be long, but we'll learn some valuable lessons from John chapter 10. We're going to begin with verses 1 through 6 as an introductory, and then we'll go right to the sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus said this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Question: what is the single most important identifying factor of a sheep? The single most important quality of the sheep? Yes and no. There's a piece before that that is related, but comes before. They know his voice. You look at that passage over and over again, and we'll look. Let's look at verse 3, the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, he calls his own, and then verse 4, the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Following, so I mentioned following, that's very important, but I want you to notice this pivotal picture here is the sheep are those who hear the voice. Verse 5, they don't follow strangers. Why? Because they don't know the voice. There you have it again. And then verse 8, all who have ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not what? Hear. There you have the voice and the hearing again. And then if you go down to verse 16, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I will bring, and they will hear my voice. And even in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. The single most significant factor about a sheep is that they hear the shepherd's voice. And coupled with hearing, they follow. They respond to that voice. And so we're going to look at some lessons centered around this idea that the sheep know the shepherd's voice and respond to the shepherd's voice. And the first lesson we're going to look at this morning comes from John 1:1. The Bible introduces Jesus, John introduces Jesus in chapter 1 as what? The Word. Fascinating. The Word is something that we, is spoken and we hear. Isn't that fascinating? So here again and again we've come up against this in Scripture that our salvation is our relationship to what we hear from God's Word. To how the listeners in Jesus, they responded to what they saw in the miracles, to what they heard in the teachings of Jesus. So over and over and over again, we've come up against this teaching that our response to God's voice, through His Word especially, is critical. Some of you have children. You see, the sheep are called by name. Not only do they hear the shepherd's voice. By the way, if you have a dog or a cat, when you come into the room, what does that animal do? The ears perk up, the head turns. Why does that happen? You've been kind to them, right? You have demonstrated your compassion, giving them the water and the food and a safe place to sleep. You've given them that backstroking or that tail scratch or the chin scratch for the cat. Even my dog likes that. You've built a relationship of trust, and that brings me back, before we go to this next point, to the Good Shepherd. What is the single most important identifying mark of the Good Shepherd? He lays down his life. That's the foundation of the sheep's response to the shepherd's voice. He has won the trust of the sheep by laying down his life. That's why we spent that time talking last time about the Good Shepherd and that most important quality. The Bible says in Romans that we follow, Romans 3, because of God's love for us. That's why we repent, because of God's love. The motivating factor for the sheep is the shepherd's willingness to give his life. I was I'll tell you that story in a minute. They're called by name. Isn't that fascinating? The sheep hear the shepherd's voice. You can see them as the shepherd comes into the fold. There may have been a crowd going by the outside. There may have been someone else repairing the wall. But when the shepherd comes in, the sheep stop what they're doing and their heads turn toward that familiar voice. The familiar voice of the shepherd offers them comfort. It's the voice they hear when they're in distress. It's the voice they've heard when the wolf charges in. It's the voice they've heard when they're lost on the mountain. It's that voice that always means comfort and safety and protection. And when that voice is heard, the sheep are calmed and comforted by that voice. Jesus calls us by name. Not only do the sheep hear the voice and follow, but they follow because Jesus says the shepherd calls them by name. Jesus knows you and me individually. This is from Desire of Ages. Jesus knows us individually and is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows us all by name. He knows the house in which we live, the name of each occupant. He has at times given directions to his servants to go to a certain street in a certain city, to such a house to find one of his sheep. don't have it memorized. Every soul is as fully known to Jesus as if he were the only one for whom the Savior died. The distress of everyone touches his heart. The cry for aid reaches his ear. He came to draw all men to himself. He bids them follow. And his Spirit moves upon their hearts to draw them to him. Many refuse to be drawn. Jesus knows who they are. He also knows who gladly hear him, his call, and are ready to come under his pastoral care. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." He cares, listen, he cares for each one as if there were not another on the face of the earth. Jesus knows your name. We're reminded in Matthew chapter 6 of the shepherd's care. Why do you worry about the food and the clothing? God knows all these things. Seek first the kingdom. Does the shepherd care about you? You know, God's leading in your life is personal to you. God knows what makes you tremble. God knows what inspires you. God knows what tempts you. God knows what wears you out and what picks you up. God knows where you're having difficulty and where you find it easy. So not only does he know every curve in the road, every bump and hill in the road, but he knows how you will handle those curves, those bumps, those rocks, those steep drops, those rocky mountain paths. God knows. Like the shepherd knows every sheep, he knows what ewe's going to be at the back or the middle. He knows what ram is going to be pushing things around. He knows. And he knows all of them by name. God's leading in your life is not just for you personally, but it's tailored just for you. It's not that he tailors his truth for us so that I believe what I like to believe, you believe what you like to believe, but that his leading in our life is tailored just for us. Leading us patiently. That's a good reason why we as sheep need to be patient with other sheep. Because we don't always understand what the shepherd's doing in your life. You don't necessarily understand what the shepherd's doing in my life. But the shepherd's working to lead us close to him, calling us with his voice. So you and I can be comforted that God knows us by name and knows all about us. And his leading in our life is in relationship to his understanding of our life and our journey. So be still enough to hear the shepherd call your name, and attentive enough to follow that shepherd's voice. Second, third, this morning, not only do the sheep hear his voice, not only do they recognize the sound of the shepherd's voice, not only do they hear their name called, not only does he know them by name, but they follow. We were driving our last day, headed out of the Rocky Mountains to Glenwood Springs. They're on I-70. And on our way, we were privileged. If you go up, if you drive out on, what road is it we take anyway? If you go out of Crested Butte and take the pass, Keebler Pass Road out of Crested Butte, you're going to see, you're across cattle grates. And you'll also see cattle in the woods on the side of the road. If you're walking on the path, you'll cross cattle reminders. And we were wondering, you know, how do they round these cattle up? What happens when the rancher decides that the cattle have had enough to eat and they need to come home? Well, we found out. As we were driving that day, we saw a cowboy riding his horse with three dogs. And the dogs would ride beside the horse. But when they saw the cattle up on the hill in the woods, those dogs would move quick, and they'd run up in the woods, and they'd push the cattle and nip at the cattle. What they needed to do to get the cattle back into the herd in front of the cowboy. And the cowboy would ride behind the cattle, making sure they didn't get out of line, that they were moving down the path. This is not a shepherd story from John 10, though. This is cattle herding. The cowboy is safe above the snakes. If there's a snake that's going to bite, who's in the way for the bite? The horse, not the cowboy. If there's a steep path to go up, the cowboy's just got to hang on. The horse is the one sweating and working its way up the trail. And if there's some cliff ahead the cowboy doesn't see, who gets there first? The cattle. The Bible says here the sheep follow. We talked about this last time, but I just want you to get that picture again. It isn't the cowboy driving the sheep. That's not how the good shepherd is. You and I follow, and it's interesting, we follow the shepherd, meaning that we are not driven before God. You know, sometimes we have that image of God being there with the gavel in his hand or whatever kind of stern picture we have of God driving us to do something. The contrasting picture is a good shepherd who invites us, calls us, whose heart and life has won our hearts, and we respond to him, and when we hear the shepherd's voice ahead of us, we follow. When we hear him call, we follow. We know that he knows the path. We know that he's crossed whatever ravine there is to cross and made it safe for us to go, and so we follow. I find that a beautiful contrast to that cowboy on the horse pushing the sheep through the woods. Rather, it's a shepherd who has forged a pathway. It is always safe for the sheep to follow because the shepherd has forged that pathway. I want you to notice one other piece about this. John 12, 26 and 27, 10, 26 and 27 tells us that my sheep, what's the rest of that? My sheep hear my voice, 27. And I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. It's his sheep that hear his voice. If you and I don't hear his voice, what's the implication? There's another piece of this passage. And I'll skip ahead and then I'll come back. But the second part of that is that when the stranger comes, what do the sheep do? It's the first part of John 10. When the stranger comes, the sheep don't follow him because they don't what? They don't know his voice. But secondly, the sheep flee. There is some security in that, isn't there? If we know the shepherd's voice, what response will we have to the stranger? So our security in the Christian life is knowing the shepherd's voice. So I have to ask myself the question, do I know the shepherd's voice? Why do I do what I do in the Christian life? Because they flee before the stranger. So if we're running ahead of God like those cattle running ahead of the cowboy, what is God to us? Who do the sheep flee from? Strangers. So if I'm fleeing ahead of God from fear, then who is God to me? He's a stranger. So the sheep, they hear his voice and they follow. Knowing the shepherd's voice is security against following a stranger. And then I want you to go back to John 10. And look with me at this verse, a little related to our last point that the sheep follow him. And this is verse 28 and 29, John 10. I gave them eternal life, my sheep, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Twice Jesus affirms this reality that as we follow him, we are secure. Not only secure because we know the shepherd's voice, we won't listen to a stranger, but those who trust themselves in his care are always safe in his care. The only thing that puts me at risk is when I don't follow the shepherd's voice, right? But if I'm following the shepherd's voice, there isn't anything, Paul says in Romans 8, that can separate us from God. Nothing. I am safe. You are safe as we follow the shepherd's voice. So safe in following that voice that nothing touches us without passing the shepherd first. And then finally, John 10 in verse 16. We aren't the only ones. You and I are not the only ones who hear God's voice, the shepherd's voice. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. So wherever the sheep are, how do they respond? They hear and they follow. They hear and they follow. Whether those sheep are in our church family, or whether those sheep are wandering out on the hills, the sheep are identified by that singular characteristic. They hear the shepherd's voice, and they follow. They hear that call in the dark, out on a canyon trail, and they follow. And then he says, verse 16, there will be one flock and one shepherd. We could spend time talking about each of these characteristics, but the singular most important characteristic is that sheep know the shepherd's voice and they follow. They follow that voice wherever it leads them. They follow that voice all the way home. To know that voice, it takes a time to spend in association. Really, that's the real reason that we know the voice as kids. You know, as a parent, you hear kids crying and you can say, that's not my kid. You might get up and help them, but you can know just by the cry whether your kid's hurt or whether it's the friend visiting because of all the time you've spent with that child. You know the sound of that voice. That's how we learn the sound of the shepherd. He wins our trust by his self-sacrificing care for us. And so the foundational response this morning to the sheep story is, do I know the shepherd's voice? Do we stop long enough to hear the timbre, to hear the nuance of that voice? Do we listen long enough to know the difference between the shepherd's voice and the stranger's voice? Do we ponder the words of the shepherd and so they're etched in our minds? Because the Bible says we will know the sound of that voice if we're sheep and we'll follow. As we approach the end of history, there is this group of people. In Revelation chapter 14, the 144,000, and one of the primary characteristics is what? They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. There is no more important time than now to learn to hear the shepherd's voice. And if there's one thing that I take away from this, is I've been thinking this morning, yesterday, during vacation, before, as I've been thinking about this hearing of the shepherd's voice, I want to become more quick to discern his voice. What does it sound like? Abraham knew that voice so well that even though the voice of God called him to do something that was unthinkable, in light of the Ten Commandments, Abraham knew that voice so well that he could discern that it was God's voice calling him. And he followed because he trusted that even if God would take away his son, the promise of God could not be broken. So Abraham followed. Abraham was one of those sheep who knew the shepherd's voice. You and I need to know that voice more than ever before. And that's what I'm saying. Lord, I want to know that voice. I want to find greater comfort in that voice. And I want to be willing to follow more eagerly. Would any of you like the same thing this morning? To hear that shepherd's voice? To respond more quickly to the shepherd's voice? Father, we learn this little piece about the sheep, that they're identified because they hear the shepherd's voice and respond. Lord, I want to respond to the shepherd's voice. I want to know that voice, and I want to eagerly follow. You know how many times in my life I've related to you more like a stranger, running ahead and out of fear, instead of responding because I know that voice, responding because that voice brings joy and comfort to my heart, responding to that voice because it's the voice of the one that I trust. And I pray that you would take us down whatever road you need to take us down, that you'd help us to take the time with you that we need to, so that we can become so familiar with your voice that even in a raging storm, we'll know the sound of that voice and be able to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to recognize this morning two sheep that have followed that voice. Would you come up, Lamech and Risper, just one last time? And my wife, too. Would you join me here? This is a rebaptism. But I doubt you have two roses. Oh, you guys can come down here. Well, no, we'll come up here. Come on, let's go up here. Since there. Well, now we're confused. One's up here, one's down there. This is okay. And then we have two cards for you. And since this is a rebaptism, we don't give out baptismal certificates. But if you'd like one for review, or I can give you one. So here's a card for you, Risper, and one for you, Lamech. And then a rose as a reminder again.
When everyone looks at me, they see my sin and they see my ugliness. But when Jesus looks at me, he sees beautiful, pure white, because that's what he died on the cross for, to cover me and to help me to grow, just like a beautiful rose. So these are silk. They will not fade like a real one will. So hopefully you can keep these as a reminder that Jesus loves you and that we're so glad you're here.
Amen. Thank you both. Thank you both, and God bless you in this new day in your journey. Well, if you would be so kind as to be right up here in the front, then we're going to sing our close. You can sit down or stand with us when we sing our hymn. And then after, anyone who would like to just give them a warm handshake of encouragement or a hug of encouragement, just say, I'm so thankful what God's doing in your life. Have courage for this new day in your journey, and then we'd invite you to do that. So you'll still dismiss out toward the back, but then come down this left or right side aisle here and come by the front. And I just wish them your best and God's blessing. And then there's a wedding on August 10 at 4 o'clock that you're all invited to attend. And that will be Risper and Lamech's wedding. Let's say our closing hymn. It's 546, right before our opening hymn. 546.